Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. Appreciate the good singing. That was a blessing. Two of my favorite songs. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 12. And we'll begin reading in verse number 12. There, say amen.
Amen.
The Bible says, "Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, for one morsel of meat, sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." Let's have a word of prayer. Brother Cameron, pray for us. Father, in Jesus' name, we bow before you, Lord. Amen. I want to look at these scriptures. I dealt with this and touched this subject probably a month or two ago, but didn't preach on it, just touched it. But I want to give the whole message to it this evening. Look, if you will, again at verse 15, our text verse. "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." We'll deal this evening with the subject of battling bitterness, or beware of bitterness. I was going to title it "Beware of Bitterness," and we should beware of it. But the truth is, we all deal with bitterness from time to time. And so it's not a matter of avoiding it, because how many of you would be honest enough tonight to raise your hand and say you've been bitter before? Well, let's look around. We all are. If we're honest, we all have dealt with it. And so it's a matter of battling it and keeping it at bay. And so I want to look at this and take the whole hour, the rest of the remaining of the hour, on this subject. Bitterness can come from a myriad of places or people. Bitterness comes through disappointment, whether it's in a person or people, places such as a job or church or a school, etc., or any portion of our life it can come. Bitterness comes from debt, having debt. That's something that a lot of people get bitter over. Disease, here's one that'll ring a bell. Divorce, absolutely. Disadvantages and death. A lot of people may not have trouble with disease and look at people who do and think, well, what's their problem? What's the big deal? Well, if you're not dealing with it, it may not be, but then another person may have had a death in their family, a husband or a wife or a child, and bitterness, that root of bitterness, creeps up and springs up in their life. Or divorce. I've personally never had a divorce, but I've seen the effects of it. I've felt the effects of divorce. And I've seen the hurt and the heartache that comes through divorce. And if not careful, bitterness is easily found there, and so on. But back at the beginning of this chapter, look back at verse number 1, this familiar scripture. Verse 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." I'll say more about this, but bitterness will absolutely knock you out of the race. Bitterness has knocked many of good people out of the race and knocked them and sidetracked them from running for the Lord. You cannot and I cannot run our race as the Lord would want us to while we're harboring bitterness in our heart. Just 2 points tonight. Everybody ought to grin and smile. Just 2 points. I got about 40 sub-points, but only 2 points. Number one, the explanation of bitterness, and we're just going to walk through some of these verses, but the root of bitterness. Number one, as we are explaining bitterness, the Bible said again in verse 15, the root of bitterness. Roots are almost always underground. You go outside and you see the trees, you see the flowers. A lot of you are already planting gardens and things of that nature. And the roots, for the most part, are underground. They're invisible. You don't see them. They're under the surface. And that's how bitterness is, for the most part, for a while. Now, after a while, after giving growth and giving time and letting it be there, allowing it to be there, not dealing with it, just like a big oak tree or some of the trees in my yard, they grow so big, and finally those roots will pop through the dirt and they'll grow on top and they will rear their head and there'll be roots on top of the ground. And given long enough, bitterness will show up and pop its ugly head in our life. But roots are smaller than the plant itself. But if allowed to grow, the outcome is it gets bigger than the plant. And it gets big enough, it will show its head, as I said. What good is a root above ground? Roots are meant to anchor the plant or the flower or the tree. What good is a root on top of the ground? Well, it ain't good for nothing except for tripping. It is a trip hazard. I've tripped in my own yard where I know they're at and still trip over them. And bitterness left in our lives, and I'm going to say a good bit more about this. The Bible said, look at it, look again at verse 15. The Bible says, looking diligent lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Don't say bitterness will defile you, but it has the potential of doing that. But allowing bitterness in my life and allowing it to stay there and grow and brew can absolutely defile others and become a stumbling block for other people. Bitterness does not just affect you. Its roots will grow out and grow wide and long and come up and cause a stumbling block and a trip hazard to other believers and unbelievers. Roots are easier dealt with when small. Wouldn't you agree? The smaller the root, the easier it is to deal with. And that's how bitterness is. If you can nip it, as Barney Fife would say, nip it in the bud, if you can chop that thing off and deal with it when it first grabs hold of your heart and you feel it coming on, and that anger, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. It ain't a sin to be angry. We should be angry about some things. God's angry about some things. But when our anger and what gets us so upset and mad and angry, when we let that stay and stir and begin to take residence in our life, it should not be, and it ought not be. It's not a healthy thing to let anger live in you on day in and day out, because it will turn to bitterness, and that will lead to even worse. And so we must deal with it when it's small. The bigger it's allowed to get, the harder it is to dig up. When dealing with roots, it's all simple. I didn't come to teach horticulture tonight, but y'all have roots in you, in your life one way or another. But when you're dealing with it, you can't get part of a root and wash your hands and think the problem's done. No, you got to get it all. You got to dig it up and get the whole root out, or before long you'll look back and right where you just finished chopping and whittling away at a root, it'll be back. It's the same way with bitterness. If we don't, and I'm going to show a deal with how to deal with bitterness, but if you don't deal with bitterness head on and get it all, dig it up, get down to the core of the problem, you'll turn from it, and just a day or two will go by, and your mind and our heart and our wicked flesh will go back to that issue that you have with somebody or something, and that thing will begin to grow again, and you'll constantly be dealing with it. Whereas if we'll get to the root of it and get to the bottom and get it all the way out, well, it won't be that way. It won't come back. If you don't get it and get it all, it will come back. Most of our dealings with bitterness is nothing more than dealing with it on the surface. That's how most of us deal and like to deal with bitterness. Most of us, if it gets to a place where we're angry, you've done something to me, and tick me off, And I don't deal with it, and then a day or two goes by, and that couple of days turns into a week, and I might walk by and shake hands, say, "Good morning, how you doing?" And that's about it, and I get short with you. And then that week turns into two, and longer, and the longer I leave that unresolved, it gets bigger and bigger, and our flesh will live there and say, "I can't believe he did that. He's supposed to love me, and me and you are just brothers in Christ," and it's even worse, and it grows way faster and in a hurry when it's a spouse or a child, but it can be a church member, it can be a co-worker, but somebody does you wrong. Does you wrong, lets you down, and you allow it to stay there, it will grow, and we like to deal with it on the surface. What do I mean by that? We like to say, "Oh, that's all right, it's over with, let's just forget about it, that's done." Well, and you move on. "I forgive you." Has this ever happened to you? I'll just dive right into the marriage and we'll all know what we're talking about. "I'm sorry." And it ain't a heartfelt "I'm sorry." It's a "I'm sorry because I don't want to deal with this right now. I don't want to argue." I've done that before, just so it'll be over and just deal with it on the surface. Not get to the root of the problem. Not dig up the problem and say, "This is what it is," and throw the whole root out, but just surface level, shallow talk, and move on. We men are real good about that. I don't like just sitting and talking about a problem. That me and, where's she at? She's gone? Oh, no, she's back there. I was about to say, I could really preach this tonight. No. Preaching's so much easier when she ain't in here. I'm just kidding. I don't like when I've done something wrong and I've offended her, and usually not even, didn't even know I did, but I notice and find out, I'll just say, "Well, look, I'm sorry. I'll take the blame." How many of you know that ain't good enough? They want that thing talked about. They want that issue put on the table and explain why you was wrong. Tell me why you was wrong. You don't just say you're sorry. What are you sorry for? You ever heard that one? I like dealing with it just saying, "I'm sorry," and moving on. That's our nature. And it ain't just us men. Hey, you ladies better listen up. I come toward the men first, but ladies are the same way. Can you believe she said that? And you'll go to church with her, but you have that in your heart. You don't want to sit beside her. You don't want to shake her hand. You don't want to walk across the church and say hello. I say, everybody get up and shake hands. I wouldn't walk over and shake her hand after what she said to me. That is surface level dealing with an issue that allows that root of bitterness to spring up and grow. Yeah. And what started out small and could have been dealt with, over time it compounds exponentially and gets to a place where you don't want to have anything to do with that person. And we cannot afford to deal with this issue. Now, there's a lot of things you can deal with at the surface. Cutting grass, I'll give that example. Cutting grass, you can cut the grass. That's a surface level issue. You just cut it. You don't go out there and dig all the grass up and chunk it out. You just have dirt in the yard. Yeah. But have you ever cut grass and it looks good and it looks plush and just like it's supposed to, but there's some weeds in your yard that ain't grass, it's weeds. And that grass, I mean, you mow the weed down with the grass and it all looks good for a day or two. But it's like a cow lick or something. It's like you can get a haircut and it look good. And about 2 days later, that thing will just fire up and stick straight up. Oh, yeah. Or a yard that you cut, that weed will pop up a day or two later and the grass is still looking good. And the yard will look wonderful if it wasn't for that weed. You can't just cut the weed. You know how you fix that problem? You pull the weed up by the root. And otherwise, it's just going to stay there. And it ain't just going to stay there. It's going to multiply and grow and spread. And the problem gets bigger and bigger. It'll take over your yard. And bitterness will take over your life, your marriage. Steal your joy. And the joy of the Lord's our strength. Well, digging up the root and getting to the bottom of an issue, there's a lot more work involved in that. There's a lot more sweat, blood, and tears involved in fixing it right than just covering it over surface level. Just saying everything's okay. If all you do, Brother Cameron, y'all newlyweds back here, not to throw, I don't know your personal business, but I've been monitoring y'all. And I'll give y'all some marriage counseling right here for free in front of God and everybody. It ain't going to work if all you do is just say, well, I can't believe you feel that way. And that's goofy. That's ignorant. Get over it. And then you come back to, well, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have been that rude and crude. It's all right, I'm sorry. And you just march on about your day and forget anything ever happened. Keep doing that. And she's going to get colder and colder and colder toward you, and she's going to get quieter and quieter. And all you that's been married a long time know, when they get quiet, that is dangerous. Yes. Dangerous. What's wrong with you? Nothing. Oh, nothing. I know there's more than that wrong. Something's wrong. You different. What's wrong? And it's like they want you to beg them. Like pulling teeth. No, tell me, what's wrong? Nothing. And that'll go on for days like that. When it could have just been a simple, I'm sorry and I mean it up front, that small root dealt with, but when it grows and festers, saying I'm sorry ain't going to cut it. It's going to have to be pulled up by the root and dealt with, not just mowing the grass, but actually getting out there and taking the time and digging it up and doing away with it. Is that way in a marriage? Is that way with our children? Is that way on a job? Somebody gets a promotion and you've been there longer and you better than they are, and they get a raise, and you think, that's sorry, lazy, sap-sucking thing. What in the world? How's he get a raise and get promoted above me? And next thing you know, you're supposed to be the Christian on the job, and you don't have nothing to do with that boy because he got a raise from a boss. The boy didn't have nothing to do with the raise. His boss done that. So that's right. I'm just saying it's in any, at the church, this has happened. Lord, have mercy. Lord knows this has happened. I've appointed people to teach a class, pray about it, and do my best to mind the Lord's out. How about you step up and teach this class? Whew, I didn't know I was lighting a stick of dynamite and throwing it in. And weeks will go by, and I'll notice somebody ain't speaking to me and ain't talking to me, and then I'll get a text. I just can't believe that you didn't consider me for that teaching position. And I said, I had no idea you wanted to teach. You never mentioned to me you wanted to teach. Or I've stood in this pulpit many times and said, if anybody in this church wants to sing, please tell me. Please, if you can sing, tell me. Only to have nobody say nothing about nothing. And so I'll get the same people to sing, and then I'll get here through the grapevine. He just used the same old people to sing all the time. He knows I can sing, and I got this song and that song. Bitterness sets in. Bitterness sets in. Well, you say, well, that's childish and that's silly. It is. If you ain't a singer, that seems so foolish and so petty. But it ain't petty to that wife in a marriage. It ain't petty to the person who was grieved. It's a big deal. Amen. And because, if all you do is mow it, listen, and stay shallow with the conversations and with the issues, all we're really doing is covering the problem up and inviting it to live with us. And if not pulled up by the roots, do you know what we're allowing? We're inviting it and allowing it to live with us, and by doing so, now you have something alive and living with you that requires maintenance. That's an issue that's there, and it's going to be there. It's going to require you giving attention to it and having to deal with it and having to work on it and having to mow it over and cut it down and have that conversation over and over and over again, when in reality, if we would just say, all right, this is it. I'm tired of dealing with this. I'm tired of this coming between me and you. So let's put it on the table. Let's get our shovel out, husband, wife, and let's dig this up and let's put it all out and get it dealt with once and for all. And when we get it dug up, then we're going to take the same shovel and bury it somewhere off our property, and we ain't never going to deal with it again. I'm getting to the end of this in a minute, but at the end of bitterness and to deal with bitterness, you don't dig bitterness up like you do a root. You don't grab a shovel and end bitterness. You know what's at the end of bitterness? You know what uproots bitterness? Somebody has to forgive somebody. And a lot of times, I would much rather go get a shovel and dig a big, deep hole than say I'm sorry. Yeah. And a lot of times, saying I'm sorry is way easier, as hard as that can be sometimes, saying I'm sorry is way easier than being on the receiving end of an I'm sorry and forgiving somebody, truly forgiving them. And that's what forgiveness is. Now, I wrote this down. About the time you get it cut down, it'll be time to start cutting it again if we let it live there. In reality, it's even worse if we let it stay there, because if you just cut a little here and a little there and deal with it a little here and a little there rather than uprooting it, You know what, in reality, what we're really doing? We're pruning it. We're pruning the problem. We're cutting it back down and cutting it back down and making it look smaller. But you know what pruning does? It makes it grow. It blossoms. And what was small and what may look little under the surface is really getting really, really big in her mind and in her heart. Amen. I'm going to move on from this, but I wrote this down and it's worth repeating. You can't fix a weed problem with a lawnmower. Let that sink in. You got to have the right tools. You can't just mow weeds. You must pull them by the roots. The longer you let a root go and grow, the bigger it gets, the more it spreads. Now, bitterness undealt with will rob you of all your joy and strength. So deal with it while it's small because, listen, the older you get, how many of you, I have one, somebody I love, I won't even give their name, tell me the other day that I'm looking more and more like my daddy and acting more and more like my daddy and getting ornery. You know what that word, ornery? Getting ornery like your daddy. I said, I'm just not loud and crazy as I used to be. I've learned to be quiet. I've just studied to be quiet. And sometimes that gets misconstrued for me being ill. And I probably am getting ornery like my daddy. It's true. I don't want to die bitter. Do you know what? You know how many people die? Bitter old people? You don't want to die that way. You don't want to go to the grave with bitterness in your heart. But this is the truth. Please hear me. It's never, ever, 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 ever going to get easier to deal with it than it is today. Because every day it gets bigger. It's like a cancer. Every day it's bigger. Every day it's going to be thicker and it's going to get harder. The shell's going to get harder. So if you're waiting on an easier time to deal with that person, you might as well quit waiting and just face up to the fact you're going to have to, if you want it dealt with, if you don't want to die bitter, then deal with it. Amen. Now.
Amen.
Amen. You'd be amazed. I've pastored people and I can't give names all the time and give personal illustrations, but I'm going to give you one in a minute that's including me recently. I'm on one end of it, and I had to go apologize to somebody. I mean, like a serious thing, because I had got bitter at somebody. And oh, my goodness. And you don't even realize you're bitter. You're about the last one to realize. You think you're in the right. And they are in the wrong. And you don't think you're bitter. You just think they're wrong. But if there's something that keeps coming up and keeps coming up between you and somebody, there's a problem there. And it's headed toward bitterness fast. Amen. And you can't afford, and I can't afford to live with bitterness in our life. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness without... Listen. Why must we deal with it? Look at verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, does that mean if you got bitter, if you die bitter, you ain't going to heaven? No, that ain't what it means. It means you ain't going to have no fellowship with the Lord if you got bitterness in your heart. I mean, over and over and over, the Bible talks about how if we have an ought with our brother, or our brother have an ought with us, and we don't leave that at the altar and go to that person and fix that, we ain't got no fellowship with God. He won't even hear us pray. So is whatever that person's done to you, is whatever's between you and that person, is it worth you forfeiting your right to be able to pray to God and get your prayers answered? And to have fellowship. I mean, if you can't pray, please hear me. If you can't pray, that's a big sacrifice to forfeit. That is a huge weapon in our arsenal to put on and say, well, I'd rather hold this in my heart than to forgive them. And yeah, if it costs me not being able to pray, then so be it. Most of the time we just block it out of our mind. We don't even think about that. We're going praying. Well, we go on saying things and letting words come out of our mouth and coming and sitting in church and acting like everything's just fine because we have the mentality, well, they're in the wrong and I'm in the right, so I can still be in fellowship with God. That ain't how it is. Do you think we can come to church and get something out of it if God won't hear us pray? The most intimate one-on-one relationship with God, if God said, I won't hear you, then he ain't going to speak to you in a service. If he won't hear you, he ain't going to speak to you. That means you can't get nothing out of preaching. That means the singing's going to be dead and dull. That means that the fellowship is going to be dry. That means everything about your Christian life is going to go downhill.
Yeah.
Amen. Can't see the Lord within her life. Verse 14 says to me, when it comes to bitterness, we're going to run into it. We're going to have problems with it. I believe with all my heart what verse 14 says. It's something we're going to have to work on. It dealing with bitterness is so deep because once it gets down that deep that you get bitter with somebody, it ain't one of them little, now I lay me down to sleep prayers are going to fix that. If you are bitter with somebody, you have a real issue. And deep down, you know you have an issue with them. Are you listening? Four times, verse 13, 15, and 16. Listen to these four. Lest ye. We're going to have to deal with it because verse 14 says, lest ye fall. Look at verse 14. The Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail. If we don't deal with bitterness, God's saying, we're going to fail. Verse 15 goes on to say, verse 13 talks about falling. Verse 15a talks about failing. The end of verse 15 says, let me read on. Fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So lest we fall, lest we fail, lest we become bitterness at its end leads to fatality, to a death of a relationship, to a death of a marriage, to a death of a friendship, lest. Verse 16, lest you become a fornicator. Look at verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator or any profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. I believe that's talking about spiritual fornication. You know what that is? Do we need to have a Sunday school lesson? Spiritual adultery means we're cheating on God and running around with the world. It means I'd rather have my issue than have my relationship with God. It means I'm courting this thing that I'm so upset about and I'm going to hold on to it. And I want it more than I want God. And so we better learn to deal with bitterness. And it has to be dealt with the grace of God. We must apply the grace of God. After all, God dealt with us in grace. Amen. So I just can't forgive them. I can't tell you how many times I've had people tell me, if you only knew what they done to me, I just can't forgive them. And I've been done pretty wrong before. But I've done wrong a lot. I've done real bad. To the Lord first. And I have drug his name through the mud, and he's forgiven me, Brother Jackie, over and over for some wicked, dirty, dark things. And he's always met me with grace that's been sufficient. Always. He has always been merciful to me. When I did not deserve it, he's always welcome me with mercy and graciously. And so if he, and there's a verse in the Bible says, if we won't forgive, how shall our Heavenly Father forgive us? Right. And what that's basically saying is God did forgive us and God was gracious with you. I know you can't see all your ugly, but if you'll sit down and quit looking at everybody else's nasty and ugly and just reflect upon your own sin for a while and look back down memory lane in your own life, you have a mountain of sin for yourself to answer for. Right. Yet God didn't say, all right, I've had it up to here. I mean, that last one was one too many and I'm done with you and I'm wiping my hands and I'm through with you. Ain't you glad he don't? Ain't you glad you ain't sinned for the last time and with God and him say, I'm not fixing you no more. I'm not forgiving you no more. I'm done with you. No, he's gracious. And if he's that way with us, we should be, and the only way we can deal with bitterness, when they have wronged me, Brother Wayne, is for me to deal with it graciously and forgive them and say, Lord, I'm relinquishing my right to get back at them. And I'm giving them to you. Lord, you dealt with me in grace. I'm forgiving them. I'm forgiving them, Lord. I'm forgiving them. And if vengeance is going to be had on them, it won't be me that brings it. If you want to deal with them, Lord, you deal with them. But far as me getting back even with them, I'm done with it, Lord. I forgive them. Boy, that's when you get victory. That's when you gain your fellowship back with God and with them people. Well, we looked at the root of bitterness, the results of bitterness. A lot of people say bitterness will defile you. I've already said it won't defile you, but bitterness will trouble you and defile others. Bitterness, listen, bitterness is like me punching myself in the face because you hit me. And expect, you don't get hurt for me hitting me. Me to drink poison because you done me wrong and me expect you to fall over dead for it. You're not going to get sick or even die. You're not going to die if I'm the one drinking the poison. In other words, bitterness is killing you. That's right. It's costing you. Your bitterness ain't hurting them.
That's right.
It's robbing you of your fellowship with God. It's robbing you of your joy. So no matter what they did to you, it's still costing you to let bitterness live in you. Mentioned in the text, Esau, Rachel got bitter, wanted to give, you remember, she wanted to give Jacob, Esau's brother, his birthright. She brought that issue into her home and played around, and because she wanted to give it to Jacob rather than it messed up, and she brought this into her home. And look at them two boys' lives. Esau was called in the Bible cursed, and Esau, what was Jacob's name? What was he known as before God got a hold of his life and changed him? A deceiver. In other words, her sin, her bitterness defiled them. That's what the verse said. The verse 15 again says, spring up, trouble you, and thereby defile many. Jacob was a deceiver, and Esau was cursed. Look, quickly, the remedy of bitterness says, lest any man fail of the grace of God. You know what the remedy is? We love to preach forgiveness, and I do, and we love to be forgiven. Have you ever, I just mentioned it already, my time is gone. I got 3 minutes. Look, ain't you glad you've been forgiven?
Amen.
Ain't you glad you've been forgiven by God? Okay, we all are. Ain't you glad you've been forgiven by Anita? Ain't you glad she ain't said the jig's up? No more, Jackie, I'm done. If you wrong me one more time, I'm so thankful Jenny has not quit forgiving. I'd been a mess. I'd be in a mess. So we all love being forgiven, don't we? The remedy is the grace of God. That's the only way out, is to recognize God deals with you in grace, therefore I'm going to deal with people who's wronged me in grace. After all, God was the one who was wrong. You say, well, I sinned, but I didn't do that much to God. I beg to differ. You and me are guilty of the murder of His Son. We crucified Him. Amen. Oh, we done a lot to Him, yet He forgave us. Amen. By the grace of God, when we can't, He can forgive people through you. We must have grace with people. We must deal with it, and it must be dealt with grace. Listen, Ephesians chapter 4. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down on you. Wrath. Neither give place to the devil, let him that stole steal no more. I'm trying to drop down. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I've read that wrong a long time. It don't say we are supposed to forgive other people because God forgave us. It says forgive even as Christ forgave. I got to think today, how did Christ forgive? Immediately He forgives. When you call and say, Lord, I need forgiveness, right then and there, He forgives. Immediately. He forgives completely. I mean completely. He ain't going to come to you next week and say, all right, divvy up for the rest of that from last. No, when you get forgiveness from God, He forgives it all. Well, He does. He absolutely does. He said, and He forgives permanently. Ain't you glad? When we stand before the Lord in heaven, I am not going to give an account for my sin. And you ain't going to give an account for your sin. You know why? We're going to give an account for our deeds, whether they be done good or bad, and our works and how we serve. But our sin cannot ever be judged again. They will never be judged because they've already been judged. And Jesus took our judgment and paid for our price and our penalty for sin. No sin you've ever committed or ever will commit, if you're saved by the grace of God, will ever be judged by God. That is right. And so it's even as Christ. That's how we must forgive permanently. That's how we stop bitterness from living in us. If Jenny done me wrong last month, and then she done it again 3 weeks ago. Wicked devil, you know, I'm just kidding. And then done it again last week, and then right before church, me coming up here to preach, she done it again, just to stick it in my... And she expects me to forgive her when I get home. That was all made up, I'm kidding. My point is, you say, well, surely it wouldn't be right for me to keep forgiving her. Oh, yes, it is. Instantly. As soon as she turns to me and says, I'm sorry. And it ain't my place to see whether she's sincere or not. Instantly, completely, and permanently. Amen. That means I ain't going to bring it back up in her face next week.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, next time I get in a bad mood and I start thinking, I wonder if she's going to do it again. I'm not going to say, you remember what you did last week? And the week before that, and the week before that. Yeah. No, if I really forgive, that means I permanently forgive. And it's under the blood, and I buried that thing, that root of bitterness that springs up. We dug that thing up, and we buried it and dealt with it, and I forgave that. Therefore, I'm not going back there to where that thing used to grow and talk about it no more.
Amen.
It's over. Do you want somebody coming up and saying, remember what you done 28 years ago, Brother Ned, and 24 years ago? No, it's under the blood.
Right.
And we can't, listen, We can't have fellowship with one another if we can't learn to forgive as Christ, as God forgives us, as Christ forgave the church. We've got to do that if we're going to live without bitterness. Oh, I run out of time. I heard this, and I promise I'm done. But I was thinking about dying bitter, and I have sadly seen a lot of people. I've been to funerals before, and had to, as the preacher preaching the funeral, at the family's request, have to stand at the door and say, "The family don't want you to be here." Because somebody had an issue with somebody, and they said, and they told their family, "Don't let them come to my funeral." That's pretty bad. I even know a preacher who did that. And if I called his name, most of you would know him. I mean, a giant of a preacher. And he made sure there was some people wasn't supposed to be at his funeral. I don't want to die that way.
Amen.
I do not want to die that way. Hey, listen, I'm saying life is fleeting. Life is fast. The Bible says our life is like a vapor. Now, I got to think about vapor today. How fast it is. I don't want to die like that. And so I'm going to deal with it before I die that way. Vapor is transformative. It was water, and now it's gas. Are you hearing me? What does water do? Water seeks the lowest levels. Gas, that vapor, it seeks the highest peaks. Water is down here on the earth. Vapor, it's up in the heavens. Water ends up in the mud hole. Dirty old mud holes. Vapor makes the clouds. What takes that water in a dirty mud hole and turns that into clouds? The sun. The sun. And I ain't talking about the S-U-N. I'm talking about if you want to let God get a hold of your life and turn your ugliness into something of beauty and something better, deal with your bitterness. Amen. Don't live with it. Amen. Let the Lord handle it. Let the Lord have that person and that problem that's eating at you and stealing and robbing from you. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. We're out of time. I got to one point tonight, so we'll have one to go. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, you'd take these scattered thoughts, Lord, and let your word find a lodging place in our heart. Go with us, Lord. I pray, oh God, you, the Holy Spirit, would go home with us tonight and reprove and rebuke us, Lord, and show us, put your finger on that person, that problem that we're allowing to live in our heart and in our life, that's stealing so much from us, that's sapping all the nutrients and all the nourishment that should be coming and flowing to us, but Lord, it's going into the weeds of our life, Lord. God, help us to deal with those roots of bitterness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, God bless you.